My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Understanding and perspective of things, because I want you to consider there's really two main aspects of deliverance that we have to always be aware of. And both of them are something that we need to consider, and it needs to operate in our lives. Both of them need to operate. You don't need to have either or more of this, more of that. You need to have whichever one God wants. The first aspect is that miraculous deliverance of coming up out of Egypt. And that's a very good thing. How many of you are thankful for getting baptized in Jesus' name? How many of you are thankful for the Holy Ghost and fire? How many of you are thankful? Well, if you've got it, you've come up out of Egypt. You've been delivered from Pharaoh. You've been delivered from the armies of the enemy. And you can't do that on your own. You don't have the military might. You don't have the fighting skills to do that. But God can. And what you can't do, God will do. But the other aspect, the other one that brings tension to the whole mix, is that you have to learn to grow into what God wants you to get into. Not just come out of, but get in. Where are you headed? Where are you going? And you don't get there overnight. You have to grow. And I saw something in Exodus chapter 14 I'd like to share with you, because I believe in this aspect of deliverance so very much. And I just bring it to your attention because here's what the problem is, okay? Here's what the problem is that a lot of times we're looking for God to give us an immediate miracle. And then God's trying to say, no, you need to grow. You need to grow. You're not where you need to be so you can inherit what I've got for you down the road. I've got a promise for you. I've got a promised land, but you're not ready to take it yet because you've got some growing up to do. You got some changing of some things and some attitudes and perspectives that you need to do. And nobody wants to do that. See, you're not excited about it at all. Oh, yeah, I want that immediate miraculous deliverance by the hand of God, Shekinah, glory, ho, woo, woo. And we want to do the whoa, ho, ho, and that be enough. And it's not enough. Thank God for it. We're still going to do the miraculous stuff here because we believe that we've got to have that just as much as you got to have the other. But growing is just as much a miracle. How many of you are glad you're not the same way you were a few years ago? You're better today. You're further down the road today. You're not where you want to be yet, but you're in a better place than you've been. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pahahiroth. Now, notice that it was God's direction that led them to this indefensible place. There was no defense. There was no way they could defend themselves. They were sitting ducks waiting for the Pharaoh's army to show up and wipe them all out. And God told him, he said, not only do I want you to go there, I want you to take your tents and I want you to place them and I want you to make camp. Wow. That's like putting a flag up and saying, shoot me. I mean, there's no way to defend this. But it's a masterpiece of a military strategy for an offensive move to wipe out the enemy in one stroke. And sometimes we get a defensive mentality when God wants us to have an offensive mentality. I promise you that God can wipe out the devil with one stroke. He don't even need to break a sweat. The word encamp there means grow to an end. Means grow to an end. He was trying to change their mentality. He said, I want you to encamp by the sea. Now, here's what Moses said, verses 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, fear you not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And he will show to you this day, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you're not going to see them no more. And the Lord's going to fight for you. Listen to me. Somebody listen to this right now, because this is the Holy Ghost speaking to you. The Lord is going to fight for you. I'm going to say it again. The Lord's going to fight for you. I'm going to say it again. The Lord's going to fight for you. But here's what you got to do. You got to hold your peace. That means you got to quit fussing. Some of y'all don't know what it means to hold your peace. You need to quit fussing about everything. Because if you're fussing your way out of God's miracle, that's what I ought to preach on. Quit your fussing and your cussing. Quit your fussing. Well, here's my text. It's very simple. If he brings you to it, he'll take you through it. Praise God. I said, if he brings you to it, he'll take you through it. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here right now. God, I want you to wipe out the devil with one stroke. God's got the right strategy every time. Not one time, but every time. God bless you. You may be seated. God's great design in all of his works is to manifest his glory. We see his glory in this Exodus, in this deliverance of Israel from Egypt, in destroying Pharaoh and the firstborn and the armies of the enemy. Israel had marched forward out of Egypt with visions of victory dancing in their heads and the conquest of their promised land, which was once only a dream. Now, after all of these years, their long awaited promise becomes a reality. And it's a midnight march into madness. This ragtag bunch of slaves that were liberated from Egypt, that they would even have a possibility of surviving the wilderness, much less making it to the promised land. And yet God says, forward and onward. Little did they know that in 7 days' journey, they were going to be asked by God, not the devil. They weren't tricked by Moses, the leader. God led them to an indefensible position with the Red Sea in front of them, mountains on either side of them, and Pharaoh's army. I mean, they were just after them, and the heat of the march was there, and they knew that they could not defend against the enemy. And the ecstasy of their exodus was short-lived. Standing on the banks of the Red Sea, their freedom was turned to fear. And the celebration of Pharaoh's surrender is now silenced. But Moses stands up and says, God's brought us to this point, and he's not going to leave us. And he makes a prophetic proclamation. Fear ye not. And that's what God wants every one of you to know. Quit being afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to show it today. And the Lord's going to fight for you. And ye shall hold your peace. Now, this is what you need to understand. No matter where God brings you to, he's already got a plan worked out of how you're going to escape the situation before you ever get there. God's not scratching his head trying to figure out what he's going to do when you get there. He already knows exactly what he's going to do, because I'm not running from the Egyptians, and Israel wasn't running from the Egyptians. They were headed toward the promised land. I'm not running from the devil. I'm not running from the problems of this generation. I'm headed toward heaven. You can be afraid of what's coming on the earth if you want to. But I'm not afraid, because I know if God brings me to it, he will take me through it. I I think we need to let the devil know we're not running scared from him. We're hastening toward a place. We're hastening toward a promise that God has made for us. The revival momentum that I feel in our church right now is not because we're reacting to what the devil is doing. Now, all of you intercessors, I love you very dearly and I'm thankful for you, but you need to be warned. There is a pitfall to intercession that if you're not aware of, because you can only react to what the devil's doing and never follow what the Holy Ghost is doing. Oh, I didn't mean to pastor just a little bit right here. A lot of people have a great burden, but their burden becomes their trap because they don't understand the importance of the fact that you need to not react to what the devil's doing, because he's always doing something. And you need to learn how to wait on God for the Holy Ghost to move. Because I'm telling you, the Red Sea is about to open up. And the church is going to march on dry ground. And I think it's time for us to be led out of Egypt. We're not going to have Egypt. We've got something better than Egypt. I don't want this world. I want something better than this world. I want what God wants for me, not what the leadership gurus want me to have, not what people want me to have. I want what God wants me to have. Does anybody want what God wants? I'm not here to negotiate detente. I'm here to defeat the enemy and move on. Now, you can fight the devil all the rest of your life that you want to, but I'm not just going to sit around and fight demons for the rest of my life. I want to rest in the Holy Ghost and find out that there is a victory that surpasses understanding, that I can just say, devil, get out of here and go over there, and he's got to do it because we've got authority in Jesus' name, and begin to march right on in the Holy Ghost. Every situation is not an Armageddon, church. And every situation is not to defeat you. Every situation is to give you an opportunity to grow so that you can get past where you're at. There's no point to retreat. You can't go back. That's sure destruction. You can't go forward because there's a Red Sea. There's an impossibility. And then God providentially puts you in a place where you are hemmed in. What are you going to do? I'm going to stand and I'm going to be still and I'm going to hold my peace and I'm going to quit griping about my circumstance. I wish somebody here would just stop for 1 minute and quit griping about your circumstance and start telling me what God's about to do. It's hard to do that when you're hemmed in. I understand that. I refuse to relinquish my liberty. I refuse to go back to what I used to have in order to be ensnared by it. Where God impels us forward, hell cannot drive us back. We are to stand still. Now that means you got to learn to wait in prayer. You got to wait in faith and you got to wait in praise. That means you got to learn how to wait with the right attitude. You got to learn how to wait in faith and in praise for God to do what he's going to do on your behalf. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Then somebody just needs to stand up right now and say, devil, I'm not moving from where God wants me to be. I wish somebody would just stand up in the face of the enemy's defiance. He doesn't want you to advance and he doesn't want you to go into the promised land. But I say, church, it's time in the midst of tribulation and persecution and problems and circumstances beyond our control that we ought to stand in peace and declare with grace, our God is going to see us through. You say, well, what am I going to see? You're going to see the salvation of God today. Today, God's going to save somebody. Today, God's going to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Today, woo, the Holy Ghost is going to be made manifest. You have to stand still and you'll see that the Lord reigns, but you got to stand still and you got to stand in peace and you got to wait with the right spirit and in praise. Listen, God reigns. Even when you think everything else is out of control, God is still in charge. And you got to have that confidence and you got to be able to stand with that kind of faith and peace in your spirit, because I see it. The Lord's glory has filled the whole earth. God's glory is in Pensacola. You say, well, Pensacola is an evil city. Well, every city you go to is evil. Just tell me one that ain't. You say, but this nation is evil. Every nation is evil. I've been to a lot of different nations in my lifetime. Not all of them, but they're all evil. The world is, I'm just here to tell you, the world's evil. I mean, that's not news. You don't need to have a bachelor's degree in common sense, maybe, to know that the world is evil. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care how evil the world is. If God brings you to it, he's going to take you through it. I'm going to tell you something else. You're going to even be surprised at yourself at what you can go through and what you can take and still come out smelling like a rose. No pun intended, Sister Dooley. Praise God. You're going to come out smelling like a rose. You're going to be a wonder to yourself. People are going to shake their head. How can you have this kind of Holy Ghost move when everybody else is doing this and that and the other? Because we're standing on the truth and we're standing on righteousness and we're standing on the Word of God. I think that we can be a wonder to everybody around us and say, oh, y'all clap your hands still. You shout and worship the Lord. You still have people getting the Holy Ghost. The real thing. I'm talking about the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost. Church, we're about to see our enemy destroyed. It's been ordained of old. There's a victory in the house. I said there's a victory in the house. There's a deliverance in the situation that you're in. And God's going to show it to you if you'll just stand with the right spirit. So when you feel like complaining, just do what I do. Just start clapping your hands and praising the Lord. Or if you really want to aggravate the devil, start singing to him. You want to aggravate the situation, just start singing. You say, well, I can't sing. I can't either, but I do it anyhow because that really aggravates them. They'll do anything to shut me up. They'll get out of there. They'll leave me alone because they don't want to hear what I have to say, but I'm going to sing it anyhow. Why? Because I know that my God reigns and his glory fills the temple. When I come in the name, did anybody come into this place in the name of the Lord? Where two or three agree, where two are gathered together or three in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Did anybody come in the name of the Lord this morning? You couldn't stop a move of the Holy Ghost. I don't care what's going on in your life. Did one other person walk in here and say, I'm here in the name of the Lord? God is going to give us a salvation. Trust is what he's trying to develop. What we need to grow into is you need to learn how to trust God. When he leads you to a difficult situation and he's led you there, you say, well, I thought I was in the will of God and I don't know why everything went wrong. And most of you think it's not the will of God when everything goes wrong. And it could be just the opposite. God brought you here and everything's not going to be your way all the time. God will put you in a situation where he wants you to grow in trust. But I trust in him. You see, the devil does not want you to start trusting God right now in your situation before that Red Sea opens up. He does not want you to praise the Lord and trust in him that he's going to see you through. He does not want you to do that. That's the reason why he's putting all this pressure on you. That's why you got that pressure on you right now. It's because he doesn't want you to trust in God. But I'm telling you just the opposite of what the devil's telling you. I've got a very enviable position, don't I? I'm going to talk to to that spirit that's trying to talk to you. He's already defeated. Jesus has already won the victory. And I've come to declare to you in the Holy Ghost right now that my God is going to see you through this, and you're going to get on the other side, and we're going to make it through it all, and the Lord's going to be there, and you need to stand in trust before you see the miracle. I don't care how hot the army is behind you on your heels. You need to go ahead and stand up and say, I believe God is going to see me through, and I'm going to hold my peace and quit fussing about what's going on, and I'm going to bless the Lord. Now, you need to understand that the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost not to keep the church blessed and comfortable, but to make the church invincible in defense, impervious to attack, and empowered to always go forward. Now let that adjust your thinking just a little bit. Let me say that again. The Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost not just to keep you blessed and comfortable, but to make you invincible, impervious to attack, and empowered to always go forward. That's the reason why you got the Holy Ghost. Not just so you can feel good in church, but so you can stand up and say, I might be going through it right now, but I'm trusting God. He's going to bring me on the other side, and somehow I'm going to see the miracle that God has already purposed for me. Among the waves of bereavement, poverty, and temptation and reproach, we learn the power of God because we feel the littleness of man. Self-esteem is that speck in the eye which mars our vision, but the great surgeon of souls can remove it with sanctified afflictions. At the mouth of the furnace, the great purifier sits as a refiner to purify his children. And when this work has been achieved and we become pure in heart, the divine purpose is accomplished and God's glory is manifested. For the pure in heart shall see the Lord. So I want you today to thank God for the rough road that you have taken and that you are on right now, because it is actually an act of God's loving kindness to not let you just sit on the nail, Brother Mitchell, but to move off of that infraction, that pain, and say, I want more than just what I am right now. I will not die at the Red Sea, but I will get up. There are some things you can't get unless you go through a trial. There are some things that God will not impart unless you go through a trial. But God gets glory when we stand up and attack and demolish satanic strongholds in the name of Jesus. God gets glory when somebody stands up and speaks to their mountain of obstacles and casts them into the sea. When we storm the gates of hell. Sister Angie, I hope you don't mind me saying this because I didn't ask permission to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just you can forgive me. I'll get forgiveness instead of permission. She was in a hospital bed just a few days ago, and I went and visited her. And I'm going to tell you, she was down for the count. She was going to see Jesus. And she looked at me, and she pointed that finger right in my face. And she said, if God wants me to get out of this hospital bed, I will get out of it, and there won't be no doctor that'll stop me. I love that kind of spunkiness. Now, that's tough stuff right there. That's tough. She was trying to make a decision on what to do about her health, and she said, Brother Kinsey, I'm going to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And I don't know who went and prayed for her, but somebody went and prayed for her and laid hands on her, and the Holy Ghost came on her, and she said, God told me he's going to heal me, and I'll be back in church. I don't know how long I'll be there, but I'll be back in church. And here she sits, first time, the miracle finished. I said, God gets glory when we get that kind of tenacity to look at our problem and say in the name of... Now, she can't run. I said, she can't run. Don't run, Sister Angie. You can just clap your hands and smile at me, and that's enough, okay? But there's some young people around here that ought to be able to say, my weapons are the name, the word, the spirit, and the blood. I still got prayer as a weapon, and I still got praise as my energy. And you can clap your hands in the face of every enemy. You can conquer your devil in the name of Jesus. I wish somebody would just act like God's going to do it. God said he would fight for us. I said God told me today that he will fight for us. Church, he's going to fight for us. Now here's what you need to know, and I want you to get this firmly fixed in your mind because it's important. The devil can fight. Listen to me. The devil can fight, but he cannot conquer. The devil is not a conqueror. He's a fighter, but he's the only fighter that can't win. The only way he wins if you quit. But if you don't quit, we are more than conquerors. Oh, I wish somebody would preach with me right now. I said we're going to win this fight. I refuse to quit. I said I refuse to quit. I refuse to quit. I'm not saying he can't put pressure on you. He can put the pressure on you, and he can, you know, he can tighten up the screws really tight. And how many of you have had it to where you didn't know what you were going to do? You've been there, sister. I've been there with you on so many occasions, but she'll look at me. She says, God's got it, Brother Kenzie. You know, I'm supposed to encourage her. And so she ain't asking me, does God got it? She's telling me God's got it. And whenever she's in that mood, you don't say anything opposite unless you want to die right there, because she will take you out. So she said, God's got it. And you hear me right now, God's got it. I said, God's got it, babe. I just go on, God's got it. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody in this church needs to hear that word, and you need to know that God's got it. Now I'm just going to declare a couple of things. I refuse to accept that the revival that we're having right now is as big as it's going to get. You can accept wherever you're at, and you can sit on your nail if you want to. But I've come to tell you our revival is not as big as it's going to be, because God's got it. I refuse to accept that this is the last creative miracle we'll ever see. God's still doing miracles, and he's still healing the sick, and he's still bringing us through, and he's still teaching us lessons, and I'm still growing, and I haven't stopped yet, and I won't stop till I draw my last breath. I refuse to accept that this church has peaked out in people that we're going to reach. I'm telling you right now, if he brings us to it, he's going to take us through it. He's got you where he wants you, with the enemy behind you, providential mountains on either side, and a Red Sea in front of you. But God's got a way where there is no way. God's going to bring you out. Now here's what happens to people. This is the reason why I'm preaching this, because this is what happens. The reason I'm showing you the two different sides of deliverance is because it's easy to lose hope. I mean, I'm not rebuking you because you may have or at the brink of it, but you lose hope. The psalmist cries out, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. You ever had that? Brother Barnes was at a time in his life when he was in his early 30s that he experienced that very same thing. The waters were up to his neck. He was underneath the covers in his bed, and he was curled up in a fetal position, and he wouldn't even get out of bed for days and days and days because he was so discouraged. That's what God, what are you going to do? How am I going to get out of this? What am I going to do? And the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do one thing until you stand up and declare and speak to those waters. Woo! Speak to those waters. And when you stand up and speak, I will move and take those waters away. But you got to stand up and speak to it. Now just think about it. Job in the Bible came through his mess, but he didn't have what you've got. He was looking for a mediator, but you've got one. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't get that. Let me say that again. He did not have what you have. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. He was looking for his mediator and didn't find one. But I found my mediator, Christ Jesus, the Lord. What the preacher in Ecclesiastes did not know, you know. That what's under the sun is not greater than what's over the sun. Because you see, I know the sun, S-O-N, and his name is Jesus. And he said, greater is he that is in you. I'm going to preach. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I know it's Sunday morning and y'all want to sleep, but I'm not ready to sleep. I'm telling you, devil, you have no authority. You have no power. Somebody needs to speak to the darkness. Quit telling me it's dark. I know it's dark. Quit telling me the world's evil. Don't you think I don't know that? But I want somebody to stand up with authority and say, I'm not quitting. It might be evil. It might be the most evilest day we've ever had. But I stand still and I will see the salvation of God. Here's my final word, Isaiah 43, 1 through 2. Isaiah 43, I skipped ahead. I'm skipping some stuff. Woo! But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, and thou art. Now know this. This is not me saying this. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm telling you that you don't belong to this world. You don't belong to your circumstance. You don't belong to your sickness. You don't belong to whatever the world is doing or saying. You are his. And when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I'm telling you, church, through it all. That's the book. Now I got to stand on that. I got to stand on that promise. It's not easy. And I know it's easy to lose hope. And I'm not saying that because you're there, you're a bad person. Because we've all been there. And I'm just trying to speak into your life a whole new perspective of what God's doing. And maybe right now. He doesn't want to deliver you. He wants you to camp. You know, how dumb is that? I mean, if you're setting up a tent, you got to unpack that tent, and then you got to set it up, and the enemy's coming. And then if he gets there, you got to pack that thing up. There was no Walmart there. I know y'all thought Costco started back then, but it didn't. No Costco, no, I can't go to Walmart and buy a new tent. They had to pack the one they had because that's all they had. There was no going back to Egypt. It was over. And God told them to pitch your tent in camp because you're growing to an end. And I want you to learn to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. But you don't know what the enemy's doing. Go ahead and do your daily chores and go through your life just like you do, but keep praising God. Hold your peace. Don't be smack talking Jesus. No trash talking. Turn to your neighbor and say, no trash talking. Hold your peace. Stand still. Now, it's hard for me to stand still because you see, Miriam picked up her tambourine. Does anybody have any kind of a tambourine or anything here that you'd, would you throw that crazy thing to me? The brother still got it. The brother still got it. The problem with Miriam is she sang on the wrong side of the victory. Woo! Harabashata. I might be still on this side of the Red Sea, but I'm not waiting till I get over there. I'm going to get my song on. I'm going to get my tambourine on. And I'm going to pray. I wish somebody would come out and say, devil, I'm taking your fighting and your pressure for the last time. I'm not going to have it in my life anymore. I belong to Jesus. And it's something you have to say. If you don't say it, you won't see it. That's what I learned from Brother Billy Cole, but I learned it from Angie Finney. And she just told me, I walked in, she said, now I'm not doing what any of these people are telling me to do. You just get it right now. I said, I got you. I don't even know what it was. Because God's got this. And they prayed for me and they're healed. So I called her on the phone. I said, how you doing, Sister Angie? I haven't seen you at church. She said, the doctor told me that what was wrong is healing up. And I'm going to be in church as soon as I can get there. And she said, Brother Kenzie, ain't nobody going to live forever. So we just have to deal with it and get over it. I said, yes, ma'am, whatever you say. You don't argue with Angie. You ever tried to argue with Angie? Miracle Angie? It just don't work. And so she said, I'm going to go see Jesus when he's ready for me to. And I'm ready, and that's all there is to it. Woo! And she's acting like she's already got her tambourine. Now, Christopher, would you take this tambourine back to Angie? Now, Angie, you don't have to do nothing. Don't leave on me. Are you still there? Angie, can you? I can't see you. Somebody's standing up in your way. There you are. Both your hands. Now, give it to her. Because she sounded the trumpet and now she's here. She should not be here. I'm going to tell you that. I'm telling you right now. That's just the fact she's here. If she's here only one service and God takes her, that's fine. But it's a miracle she's here today. And I think it was for this message. God just lined it up. From the first word, from the Sunday school, Brother Stafford, Kristen with the singing, everything got lined up. Now you shake that tambourine, Sister Angie, and you let this church know that God's going to have his way no matter what. Speak to it. I pastor a crazy church. I haven't even given an altar call and you're already here. But that's the good kind of crazy. I love that kind of crazy. Now, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your Baal Zephon is. I don't know what your terrible situation is. And for you, it's terrible. For you, it's difficult. For you, you lose hope. I understand that. I've been there. But I'm telling you, what I'm preaching works. I would not preach this if I had not proved it in my own life. And it can be the hardest thing to do, to speak faith when you're in despair. I understand that. And I do not fault you in the slightest. And I want you to understand that. I do not fault you. I'm trying to speak you into doing the right thing in spite of your hopelessness. So I want you to take somebody by the hand if you've got a situation in your life, and I want you to bring them to the altar. Those of you that aren't up here, y'all don't need to come up any further, except maybe just step up and make some room. Get your partner by the hand, somebody around you, a family member or somebody you don't even know. I don't know what you're going through. I know it probably is a very difficult thing. Go ahead. You can pray where you're at. You don't have to come up here. God's just as good back there as he is up here. He's everywhere. Charlie, Brother Gill, Brother Prentice, would y'all go pray for Brother Abe and lay hands on Abe? Is he still here? Did he go? Is he still here? Okay. They got him blocked up. I want y'all to go pray for him. I want you to lay hands on him. I want you to believe God for this word. Oh, yes.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.